Moses sees the Garden of Eden, the naming of animals, angels, Adam, and Eve. Moses 3:19 through 20, 23, and 4:26. Book of Moses Essay number 56 by the Book of Mormon Central Team with Jeffrey M. Bradshaw. In the depiction of the Garden of Eden above, Jan Brueghel the Elder masterfully fills the foreground of the scene with the abundance, happiness, and beauty of newly created life. From there, however, he skillfully draws our eyes toward the two tiny figures in the background, ominously reaching for the fruit of the Tree of Knowledge. However, it should not be forgotten that prior to that event, wherein Adam and Eve receive crucial knowledge as a consequence of their transgression, an important test for knowledge was administered to Adam when he was required to go through a test of naming. Though the story of the naming of animals is couched in the Bible as a proof of Adam's dominion and as a motivating prelude to the creation of Eve, there are hints in competing versions of the event that the account may not be as straightforward as it seems. Building on the foundation of essay number 39 that discussed a series of sacred names given to Moses representing important junctures in his mortal journey and heavenly ascent, this essay describes an alternative Islamic interpretation of the event that understands Adam to be engaged not in naming the animals, but rather in demonstrating his knowledge of secret names to the angels. Animals or angels. Moses 3:19 recounts the well-known story of how Adam gave names to all the animals. Quote, "And out of the ground I, the Lord God, formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and commanded that they should come unto Adam, to see what he would call them. And they were also living souls, for I, God, breathed into them the breath of life, and commanded that whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that should be the name thereof." Intriguingly, the story in Jewish writings of what happened afterward differs significantly from other ancient sources. Whereas some strands of Jewish tradition, consistent with the thrust of the biblical account, record that the animals subsequently bowed to Adam, other Jewish, Christian, and Islamic accounts insist that it was the angels who paid homage to him. While it is impossible to reconstruct how and why these two versions of the story differ, it has been argued that some scriptural passages relating to angels were controversial and subject to tampering by Jewish scribes during the Second Temple period. We also know from the Book of Revelation about the close association between beasts and angels who worship together at God's throne in heaven. It does not seem impossible that in some contexts, beasts were interpreted as angels by readers familiar with such imagery. With these considerations in mind, we'll consider a parallel tradition from Islamic sources that appears in place of the episode of the naming of Adam's animals in Genesis. In a manner similar to temple initiates in other cultures, Adam, before the fall and after having been given instruction by God, is said in these sources to have been directed to recite a series of secret names to the angels in order to convince them that he was worthy of the elevated status of priest and king that had been conferred upon him. What was the nature of the test? It is seen specifically as a test of knowledge. Ida Zilio Grandi comments that, quote, "While in the Bible God lets Adam choose the names of things, in the Quran it is God who teaches and who reveals, therefore, the names to Adam. Extremely high value is attributed to knowledge. Indeed, it is not by obedience that the ability to represent God in the governance of the world is measured, but by knowledge." What was the nature of the names involved? There are several different options about the nature of the names involved. With respect to Adam's purported premortal accomplishment, Quran commentators themselves dispute which particular names were involved, various theories taking the position that they were the names of all things animate and inanimate, the names of the angels, the names of his own descendants, or the names of God, end of quote. Mahmud Ayyub writes similarly of the diversity of opinions on the matter, quote, "Much disagreement has arisen among commentators regarding the words that Adam received from his Lord. Ben Arabi says that these were lights and states or stations of the realm of dominion and power and the realm of the subtle spirits. It may also be that Adam received from God gnosis, hidden knowledge, sciences, and truths," end of quote. Regardless of the specifics, Almizan asserts that this was not a simple dictionary recital showing off the power of Adam's memory, but rather, quote, "something totally different from what we understand from the knowledge of names," end of quote. Alusi concludes that Adam's saying of these names is, quote, "in the end, like saying the names of God, for power concerns God himself and his ruling of the world. End of quote. The names as helps in repentance and reconciliation. Additional passages from Islamic sources connect the knowledge said to have been given to Adam in a general way to temple-related practices to effect repentance and reconciliation elsewhere in the ancient Near East. Though Islamic sources studiously avoid any reference to atonement rituals connected with the Jewish temple, a penitential function is accorded to a knowledge of certain words given to Adam. Describing a separate incident that was said to have occurred after the fall, Islamic writings recount that, quote, Adam received some words from his Lord that enabled him to repent and return to good standing with God so he could eventually go back to the Garden of Eden. While Amasan declines speculation about what specific words were revealed, it likewise elaborates on their function. Quote, it was this learning of the words that paved the way for the repentance of Adam. Probably the words received at the time of repentance were related to the names taught to him in the beginning. There must have been something in those names to wipe out every injustice, to erase every sin, and to cure every spiritual and moral disease. Those names were sublime creations hidden from the heavens and the earth. They were intermediaries to convey the grace and bounties to Allah of his creation. No creature would be able to attain to its perfection without their assistance. End of quote. The names is required knowledge for heavenly or ritual ascent. In the Quran, the specific means by which these words were meant to assist in the attainment of Adam's perfection is left unspecified. However, an exchange of sacred words is implied in the accounts of conversations between Muhammad and heavenly guardians during his night journey, when he ascended on a golden ladder to the highest heaven. Moreover, the literature of mystical Judaism, Christian Gnosticism, abounds with accounts of righteous prophets and sages who were taught how to advance past a series of celestial gatekeepers toward the presence of God by the memorization and use of sacred names and phrases. Is it possible that Adam himself received his name as part of the episode as reported in Moses 3:19? It is difficult to say because the Hebrew word for Adam is used as a general term for the man in the early chapters of Genesis. However, it seems significant that the final instance of naming the story of the garden and the fall, Adam's bestowal of a permanent proper name on Eve, occurs in immediate proximity to the account of God's making coats of skin for the couple. In this connection, it may be significant that Islamic traditions associate a test of naming with the marriage of Adam and Eve. Just as the episode reported in 3:19 was considered by Islamic commentators to be a test of Adam's knowledge of certain names as a measure of his worthiness for his exalted role, so also was the story of the naming of Eve seen in precisely the same way. Thus, the test of Adam's knowledge of certain names culminated in an examination to determine whether Adam could identify Eve and recite her name. Notice the words Al-Talabi used to describe the incident. Quote, when Adam awoke from his sleep, he saw Eve sitting at his head. The angel said to Adam, testing his knowledge, what is this, Adam? He answered, a woman. They asked, and what is her name? He replied, Eve. End of quote. Al-Talabi precises that when Adam and Eve were rejoined after the fall, quote, they recognized each other by questioning on a day of questioning. So the place was named Arafat, meaning questions, and the day Irfa, meaning knowledge or recognition. End of quote. Conclusions. Whether or not traditions that revise the story of Adam's naming of the animals and Eve to refer to something like ancient temple naming practices are authentic, Latter-day Saints certainly have no quarrel with the idea that Adam and Eve received the fullness of the saving ordinances. Indeed, Joseph Smith taught explicitly that the origins of modern temple ordinances go back beyond the foundations of the world. For example, in 1835, as the saints prepared to receive the ordinances that would be available to them in the Kirtland Temple, the prophet stated, quote, the order of the house of God has been, and ever will be, the same. Even after Christ comes, and after the termination of the 1,000 years, it will be the same. And we shall finally enter into the celestial kingdom of God, and enjoy it forever. End of quote.